turn to the book of Luke, chapter 13. Book of Luke, chapter 13. We'll read verses 10 through verse 17. And looking at the healing miracles of Christ, and this is yet another of those miracles. Verse 10, and he, Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him, and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. This particular miracle is recorded only by Luke, and as in all the healing miracles of Christ, it is a vivid picture of human need, a manifestation of God's grace, a manifestation of God's power, His mercy, His compassion. We learn from verse 10 that this miracle took place on the Sabbath day, and there are 7 such recorded miracles by Christ. This would be the 6th of the 7 times that it is recorded that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. The next time would be in Luke chapter 14, where we see the man with the dropsy. But we see that it was the Sabbath day. And Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, of course, for a particular purpose, I believe, for an occasion to oppose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Every single time that he healed on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees, of course, found fault with what the Lord had done and become very agitated and very upset. And each time Jesus delivered a message to them concerning their own hypocrisy. So the Lord healed on the Sabbath day. One of the reasons was to expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Another reason was to teach them concerning the lawful use of the Sabbath. And this, of course, he did many times as well. Also in verse 10, it is stated that this particular miracle took place in one of the synagogues where Jesus was teaching. Jesus often went to the synagogues to teach. We have several examples of this. If you keep a mark there and notice in Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, verse 54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? In Mark chapter 1, and we'll read verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered in the synagogue and taught. And on that particular day, he would heal a man with an unclean spirit, or a man that was demon-possessed. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 2, "And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And for what wisdom? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" In the book of John, chapter 6, book of John, chapter 6, notice verse 59. "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." And then in John chapter 18, John chapter 18 and verse 20, "Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I have ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews often resort, and in secret have I said nothing." We see one of the reasons Jesus taught in the synagogue, of course, was to be public. To be public. So we find many occasions where Jesus goes to the synagogue and teaches. We see also that this was his custom. This is what he was accustomed to doing. Notice in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. "He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." So here in Luke chapter 13, here is Jesus on the Sabbath day. He goes into the synagogue, and we see here in verse 10, he's teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Now his primary purpose for going to the synagogue that day was not to teach. His primary purpose was for a certain woman that he knew would be in the synagogue that day. Some may wonder, well, what would have happened if Jesus showed up at the synagogue and the woman didn't? That wasn't going to happen. Because the Lord works on all ends. And the Lord would lead this woman to the synagogue. Perhaps it was her custom to be at this particular synagogue on every Sabbath day. Perhaps this was her first time in the synagogue. We don't know. But she was there. And Jesus certainly knew that she would be there. And when we come down to verse 11, we read, "And behold," that is, observe, our attention is drawn to a woman. "Behold, a certain woman was there." A certain woman which had a spirit of infirmity. So our attention is drawn to this woman. You have the synagogue. Jesus was there. The ruler of the synagogue was there. We see this from verse 14. "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation." So we know that Jesus was there. We know that the ruler of the synagogue was there. Verse 17, "There were many other people there as well. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were shamed, and all the people rejoiced." That is, all the people that were in that synagogue that day. So Jesus was there. The ruler of a synagogue was there. Other people were there. And however many people were there, our attention is not drawn to the ruler of the synagogue. Our attention is not drawn to the multitude of people. Our attention is drawn to one person. "And behold, a woman." The Lord says through Luke, observe. Behold, observe. Pay attention. Get your attention focused upon this woman. She is the reason. She is the reason why Jesus is there. She is the object of this particular miracle. And what we have in this miracle, this is one of my favorites of the miracles of Christ. We see a picture, a manifestation of the loosing power of Christ. But the first thing we want to do is see the condition of this woman. And we see this throughout the recorded miracles of Christ, the healing miracles. We see that most often we are given a pretty clear, detailed picture of the condition of the one who is the object of the miracle. It's no different here. We get a description of this woman. We see in verse 11 that she was bowed together. That is, she was bent double at the waist. She had been like that for 18 years. Perhaps she was 18 years old. We don't know. Perhaps she was 50. Doesn't really matter. She had been like this for 18 years. We also read that she was bound in this condition. Her condition is she is bowed together. She has been double at the waist. She's been like this for 18 years, and she's bound. She is bound in this condition. Notice verse 16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years. So this woman is shackled. She is trapped in this condition. We see also that she was helpless. Verse 11 again. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. She was bowed together, and then notice what it says. And could in no wise lift up herself. She was powerless. She was powerless to change her condition. And I believe she had tried. Because again, verse 11 says, she in no wise and could in no wise lift up herself. How did she know that? Because she had tried. She had tried. She had tried to straighten herself up. And no doubt through 18 years, she had tried many, many, many different times. Perhaps she had tried many different ways. Perhaps she would move to a different position and try that. But no matter what she did, she remained bent double at the waist. She could not lift up herself. She could not straighten herself. I'm sure her loved ones, I'm sure her friends, I'm sure her relatives would try to perhaps get behind her and straighten her up. No one could. She is trapped in this condition. And I'm sure that in 18 years, people came up with various ideas on how perhaps we can straighten this woman up. How we can straighten her body. But no matter how many ideas they came up with, no matter how hard she tried, no matter how hard her friends tried, for 18 years, she has been double at the waist. She is bound in that condition. Now, when you are in a condition, you are entrapped in that condition, and you try over and over and over again to change that condition, and you cannot. That's very frustrating. This life, no doubt, this white woman, no doubt, lived a life of frustration. For 18 years, she is bowled together in this condition. No doubt she struggled, trying to straighten herself up. But in all of her struggles, she remained bowled together. No matter how hard she tried, she remained bowed together. And now 18 years has passed. When you're healthy, 18 years flies by pretty quick. But when you are in a condition of this woman, I imagine 18 years doesn't go by as fast. She is bowed together. She is bound or entrapped in this condition. And as in all the healing miracles of Christ, they all have spiritual application. Her physical condition is a picture. Her physical condition is a picture of a spiritual condition. And this woman's physical condition is a picture of the condition and life of the unsaved. They are bowed together. They are bound in that condition. But it is also a picture of the state that a child of God can succumb to and become trapped in. The truth is, if our spiritual condition was manifested in our physical condition, we'd be in bad shape. And a lot of people would walk into this church building bent over double. If our physical condition was a mirror of our spiritual condition. So we get an idea of her condition. Now we need to find out, as always, what is the reason for her condition? Why is she this way? How did she get this way? Because if we can find the reason, there's hope. There's a possible solution. You've got to find the reason. And again, most people don't want to go there. They don't want to know why, just fix me. But you have to know the reason. And Jesus, of course, in his healing miracles, we usually get to the reason. But notice verse 11. She had a spirit of infirmity. That word spirit there does not refer to her attitude. It refers to a demon. She had a demon that caused an infirmity. The infirmity, of course, in this case, was that she was bent double. But here is the root of the problem. She has a spirit of infirmity. Yes, she has a physical problem. Yes, she has a physical weakness. She has a physical disease, if you would. She has this terrible malady that was brought upon her by Satan. Satan here is the root problem. This demon is the root problem. In verse 16, Jesus attributed her condition to Satan. Notice in verse 16, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound?" Satan is the cause of this problem. So if we're going to fix the problem permanently, we have to remove the source of the problem. Now, if all you want is a Band-Aid and a temporary fix, then you don't have to get to the root of the problem. But you'll return very soon to your condition, or you will remain in your condition. But we see the root of the problem here is this woman had been smitten of the devil. Satan, in all of his malice and in all of his cruelty, for 18 years had caused this woman great agitation. He had brought much trouble into her life. He had brought much affliction into her life. To try to understand the condition of this woman, walk around all day like this. Just try that sometime. Don't. But you can imagine. You just walk around that way for a little while. I mean, you're like this. You can't straighten up. All you see is the ground. You try to get dressed in that condition. You try to do household chores in that condition. You try to move along in that condition. Life isn't easy. Life was not easy for this woman. Life was very, very difficult for her. And many problems were caused by her condition. It brought many, many other problems into her life, brought many other difficulties into her life. We see that this would affect every single area of her life. I mean, if you are bent over double, that is going to affect every single area of your life. That will affect the way you sleep. It will affect the way you get up. It affects every area of your life. There is nothing unaffected by this condition. And this is true of the lost sinner. A lost sinner is in a terrible condition. And whether they realize it or not, it affects every area of their life. God's people get into this condition. And whether they realize it or not, it affects every single area of their lives. Everything would become an obstacle. If you are bent over double, everything is an obstacle. Nothing is easy. And she's entangled in this. She is bound in this condition. The devil was wreaking havoc in every single area of her life. This not only affected her physically, it would certainly affect her emotionally, and it would affect her spiritually. I mean, all she can see is the ground. And you're bent over double, and someone says, "Oh, look. Look at the pretty sunrise. Look at the pretty sunset." You can't do it. It's going to affect you. It's going to have an effect on every area of your life. It's going to have an effect on your mind, your spirituality. So this woman's condition greatly affected her lifestyle. And she was like this for 18 years. Every day for 18 years. Perhaps she tried every day to straighten herself up. Perhaps she gave up on that a long time ago. But for 18 years, every single day, she was in this condition. She woke up in this condition. She went to bed in this condition. For 18 years, life was a struggle that very few would ever understand for this woman. Every day for 18 years, simple, everyday tasks would be very difficult and would be very, very bothersome. For 18 years, everything was an exhausting chore. Everything was so hard. And if every single day, year after year after year after year, everything is just so difficult, so hard, everything is exhausting, everything is a chore, that wears on you after a while and has a great effect. So for 18 years, her life was greatly hindered. Just imagine how tiresome this woman's life must have been. Again, her physical condition would have prevented her from looking up. That means her vision was very limited. You think of the lost sinner. Oh, how limited their vision is. But you think of God's people that have fallen into this condition. And all they can see is the ground. All they can see is the ground. Their vision is very limited. When you get in this condition spiritually, you limit your vision. You limit what you can see. And that, of course, can have a great impact upon your life. No doubt this woman, as she walked along, I mean, this is not a common condition, even in those days. We read of several occasions where Jesus healed the blind, so blindness was somewhat common. We read of several occasions where he healed the deaf, where he healed the crippled, where he healed the demon-possessed. But then, only one time we read of a person who is bent over double. This was not a common condition. So she would be considered an oddity. And when a person physically is an oddity, people can be very, very cruel. And I am sure that she had experienced a lot of that. I wouldn't be surprised if she experienced it in the synagogue. I'm sure at times people would mock her. Perhaps little children would mimic her. Perhaps people would ridicule, and some people might even be disgusted by her appearance. But I imagine to some degree she lived with the pain of rejection every single day. And as a result, this woman had very, very little joy in her life. It was a life of gloom. And you walk around and all you can see is the ground every day. Things are going to become very gloomy. And this was the case with this woman. So we'll continue looking at her next week and see what the Lord does for her. And of course, the Lord does for her what no one else in 18 years could do. And that is still the case today. The Lord can do what no one else can do. Let's look to